But back to this. This is our last in our series about life after divorce. We hear from a woman we're calling Sita, who met her wife when she was just 18. They married after 7 years together, but separated after 2 years in 2020. Our reporter Henrietta Harrison has recently been through a divorce herself. She met Sita to trade experiences in the garden of Sita's parents' house.
You know the saying, a death by a thousand cuts? That's probably what it was. I met my ex-wife when I was very young, actually, and it was my first real relationship, so I wasn't sure how to be, and I think we just settled into behaviours and patterns that weren't serving the relationship, and by the time we realised it, it was too hard to break out of them. You know, we did go to couples counselling and try, but I think even at that point it was too late, and we just realised we were unhappy more often than we were happy. Unfortunately.
And what was the final trigger? Like you say, it's a slow death, but then there's usually something that gives it that final push.
I don't even remember the day. That's how kind of the slow burn it was. I don't even remember the day we decided to do it. I remember the day I moved out, but I don't remember the day we finally decided that we weren't going to try anymore.
Why did you get married?
Why did I get married? I actually think it was to integrate not only my ex-wife, but our relationship, properly embed that into the family. And it's not that she wasn't accepted into the family before, because she was. She'd been in that family for 7 years at that point. But it was to kind of make it official and to say, you know, we're the same as everyone else in this family. We've got the same sort of love and commitment for each other. So I guess in part it was because of perception.
Tell me about the day you moved out.
It was a process of months packing up my half of our lives. My dad came to help me move stuff out. I was coming back to my parents' place, which I think is the case for probably quite a few people. But in my case, it was my childhood home that I was moving back into. So I felt quite odd about that, having not been there for 10 years. Neither of us cried, but it was very sad.
I'm speaking to lots of different people in this series. What's different about you is that there are no kids involved.
No kids, but a dog.
Really, I didn't know there was a dog. And I think a lot of people might say, well, actually, your divorce must be a lot easier. I mean, do you buy into that at all?
I think it's probably much easier logistically. Absolutely. But I will just probably ask you a question, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So I actually wonder if there's more loss felt in relationships that don't have children, because you may never see that person again. It's the prospect of never seeing that person again. So my question to you, I guess, was, whilst people might say, oh, I hate that I have to see him or her every week to drop off the kids, is there also something comforting about that anywhere deep down, that you don't lose them from your life?
I'm not sure, but certainly I'm glad that after the breakdown of my relationship I have this structure and this purpose that's provided by my children. You don't have that.
No, it's starting again with no routine, no certainty, and it's mourning the loss of a family that you didn't have, that you'd planned to have, that you thought about together and dreamed about together. Makes it very hard. And I'm lucky that I am young enough to have the opportunity to have children. But it doesn't mean that I don't grieve the loss of any potential children and a potential life that I was supposed to have with my ex-wife.
I think the figures are about a year old, but they indicate that gay women, lesbians, are more likely to divorce than gay men in marriages. Why do you think that is?
I think that's true probably for a number of reasons. I think firstly, gay men, from my experience, are more likely to have non-monogamous relationships, open relationships, freer relationships. And so actually infidelity doesn't necessarily become a reason why people separate. And I think gay men are sort of rewriting the rules of marriage actually as well in a really great way. I think with two women as well, something I've talked about with a lot of my friends is this idea that women leave relationships and men move relationships. So men need to have this sort of someone else or a sort of cushion and won't necessarily leave to be by themselves once they've made that commitment. But women are more ready to be by themselves and are braver, if I'm making a generalization.
You say that gay men are more open to open relationships. Was sex a factor in the breakdown of your marriage? Was that a problem at all?
It certainly became less frequent, as I think is the case when anyone detaches emotionally or there's some issues. It's, I think sex is a symptom rather than the cause, though.
Do you think a lesbian divorce is taken less seriously than a heterosexual divorce? Do you get any sense of that?
Oh, that's an interesting question. It's more to do with a divorce without children is taken less seriously than divorce with children, rather than it being a lesbian relationship.
Certainly from the divorcees that I've spoken to, and certainly in my own experience, that the acrimony sort of had a life of its own. It was, you know, hard to manage. Was there much acrimony between you two?
Not really. Lesbians talk a lot in relationships, just so you know, if you're not already aware, they talk a lot. It's a generalization that women talk a lot, and when you've got two women in a relationship, there's a lot of talking. And so we talked a lot about our issues anyway, so anything that was, there wasn't much that was pent up that we hadn't already spoken about, which might lend itself to be the reason why heterosexual divorces are a bit more acrimonious. There's things that you couldn't say in the marriage that now all come out, and I don't think that's maybe the case for gay women.
Yeah, communication is good, yeah. Usually.
Yes, but it doesn't mean to say there weren't a few arguments here and there. You know, as I mentioned, there was a dog involved, and there were quite a few heated discussions about the dog, but ultimately we both want him to be happy and safe and have some consistency in his life, so he's now with her.
Do you think it's different for gay couples getting divorced because arguably you've not made conventional choices quite early on in your life? You've made quite soul-searching decisions quite early on in your life.
I actually think that makes it easier. I think there is something about a non-heterosexual marriage that means that we are able to rewrite the rules of marriage in a way. There's no kind of expectations of our relationship as much as there is of a heterosexual relationship. There's, I would imagine, the expectation that you got married, that you have kids, that you move to the suburb. I don't know, whatever your expectations are. It's just, it's not that way, I think, in same-sex relationships, because there aren't any of the old tropes. So you have to make joint decisions as you go. You have to decide how you want to do things because society doesn't expect you to be married, full stop. I think it may be slightly different in queer relationships, potentially if one person is more masculine presenting and the other more feminine presenting. That wasn't the case for me, so I can't speak to that. We were both quite feminine presenting. So you'd have to ask somebody who was in a butch femme relationship about that. But certainly from my experience, you make the rules up as you go.
How did your friends and family react to the breakdown of your marriage?
They knew we were having trouble before we separated. And that was when we knew it was real, was telling our parents. Friends, I think, was easy and fine because they'd been on that journey with us almost of hearing all of our arguments and everything. But for family, it was more of a shock. And I was very conscious with my family to let them know that she was still part of my family. That's how I can still consider her part of my family. For example, I had my birthday a couple of weeks ago and she was invited to my family party and came. She is my family. She's my ex-wife. In the same way that I think if we had kids and she was the mother of my children, she'd be a member of my family. I view that her in the same way now.
She's got a new partner.
Yes.
How does the new partner feel about her still being part of your family?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And I haven't met her new partner either. And I think that that will take a bit of time too. I would hope, like, if I have a new partner at some point, that will just have to be a given. They will just have to appreciate that I talk to my ex-wife every other day, pretty much, and that she's still what I consider my best friend, a member of my family. And if they don't appreciate that, then we probably aren't going to be together.
What do you miss about your marriage?
Oh, lots. I miss going through my day for someone. Whenever I do something in a day, whenever I have a work meeting or whenever I go for a walk, I'm thinking, oh, I can tell this person about it later. This person cares about what I'm doing now and I care equally about what they're doing. And I want to hear all about it at the end of the day. So that's what I mean by going through your day for someone. And I'm learning how to do that for myself. I'm definitely not there yet. Genuinely, ask me this in 10 years, but I believe that joy comes from sharing experiences with other people. I think you can be content and very happy by yourself, but I think joy is about sharing yourself with someone else. And that's what I miss about a marriage. And I miss watching TV together and listening to music together. One of us cooking for the other person or taking each other out on a date. But I don't know, is that missing a marriage or is that missing a person?
It sounds to me a little bit like that you left a marriage and there's not really much left for you on the other side. You've had to actually rebuild your life quite a lot.
Dramatically, yeah. There was no home. I have now just bought my first place in a different country, actually, so I plan to move in a couple of months. There was little stability. She was kind of everything. And I'm thankful that I'm not completely without her. But it will probably do me good as well to figure out who I am.
My divorce process started about 3 years ago. And I look back and I think I really wasn't prepared. You know, I really didn't have any idea what was ahead. It has been a lot harder than I anticipated. If you met your 28-year-old self about to begin the divorce process, what advice would you give her? What would you tell her to expect?
Be very gentle with yourself and your ex-wife. The next 2 years are going to be very difficult for both of you, and you don't need to justify your choice to anyone else. What advice would you give your 48-year-old self?
I've thought about this quite a lot because I've asked everyone in the series what their advice to their selves, their younger selves, would be. And one woman said, brace yourself. It's going to be a lot harder than you anticipate. Another woman said, it's going to take longer than you expect. And actually, the guy I spoke to said, it'll be all right. You know, he wanted to be reassuring to his younger self. For me, I think I would say, don't expect it to be liberation. I mean, there are moments where it feels freeing and you feel really proud of yourself for being courageous, but it is mostly about compromise and hard work still.
Absolutely. And I think the most disappointment and sadness comes out of expectation that isn't met. And I think expectation is the death knell of everything, really. So actually, that's probably my advice, is don't expect things are going to be easy. Don't expect things are going to be hard. Just take things as they come and deal with them the best you can.
Good bit of life advice at the end of that report from Henrietta Harrison, speaking to Sita there. And you're getting in touch about your own experiences. Anonymous here says, after I divorced, I decided I would not marry anyone again unless they had been through a divorce. I wanted someone who might equally have reflected on how relationships go wrong and had a better perspective on how to make them work. I've been married now for 14 years to another divorcee and we're both very happy and have a very strong relationship. Someone else says, I'm 5 years post-divorce and it gets better and better. I'm now so delighted to be divorced, and the feeling of being left out I felt with my married friends has slowly been replaced by fellow divorcees. Once you're over the early tough stages, it's wonderful. And Philippa emailed in to say, a married girlfriend was telling me about about a single man I might like to meet and said without thinking, he's divorced, but he's very nice. Maybe in a Yorkshire accent, I'm not sure. There is a definite preconception, she says, amongst the smug marrieds that divorced people have done something wrong and it's their fault and they're alone. 84844 is a number to message.